You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time for BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski, breaking down all the betting angles you need to put money in your wallet.
So the Jazz hit the most threes of any team in the NBA, and the Hornets allow the third most threes, 15 a game, and the Jazz are making 16.5 per game. And as far as the frequency, the Jazz are number one. And then Charlotte gives up the most.
Out beyond the three-point line. Goes against Biombo. Cross-court pass. Donovan on a catch and shoot. There it is. 27 three-pointers by the Utah Jazz.
On the BetQL Audio Network.
Nailed that one. Welcome into BetQL Daily on the BetQL Audio Network. This is Joe Ostrowski, my co-host today, Ryan Horvat. Eli, the EP. Jake is on the board up. Dylan, the director, joining us today. Mike Gallagher will talk some NBA. Jeff Sherman will hit on the NBA. Also some golf from the Superbook. Dalen Cuff on some college hoops. The only thing, Horvat, is I nailed the handicap. I just wish I bet a bunch of Jazz to go over on the threes because they hit 28. And I believe that's the second most we've seen in a game from a team. This is consistent. I know a lot of people are shocked that they hit so many threes, but not the number of 28, obviously. But throughout the entire season, they've been averaging the most threes in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I love this team so much, Joe. That's what I was saying when we were talking about NBA futures with this Jazz team, is they've surrounded Rudy Gobert with a bunch of guys that knock down jumpers. They got three guys on this roster that hit at least 40% from three. Jordan Clarkson's probably going to be the sixth man of the year. You know, it looked like the Hornets were going to cover there. The Jazz outscored them in the fourth quarter, 41-20. That's why this team's so scary. It's a close game, and just like that, they could run away with it because of that three-point shooting.
Yeah, got some thoughts on last night. We'll preview tonight's slate of NBA games. I believe we've got nine, so we'll break down those from sides, totals, and also do a segment on player props. So we got a lot to go over with college hoops. You know, there's always some NFL action out there. You know, right before we were jumping on the air, I see people on ESPN saying, yeah, I think they're going to actually help Aaron Rodgers this year. I'm like, we live through this every year. Don't you live through this every year?
And then in the end,
they end up doing pretty much nothing outside of the draft, right?
Right, exactly. In fact, last draft was the first draft in which they've used a first-round pick on a skill position player since selecting Aaron Rodgers, and they take his eventual replacement in Jordan Love. So I don't expect them to do a whole lot. They don't have any money this offseason. Like, everybody, we keep taking phone calls on J.J. Watt. He's not coming to Green Bay. They don't have any money to pay their own guys, let alone J.J. Watt at 32 years old.
Yeah, people keep pumping up J.J. Watt. Like, okay, great. He's going to go somewhere, and people make a big deal because he's popular. But Is he going to make an impact? Is the team going to make the playoffs versus not making the postseason because of J.J. Watt at this stage in his career? And even if he's used properly, I'm not quite sure about that. Joe Ostrowski, Ryan Horvat, welcome into BetQL Daily. We are here weekdays 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the radio.com app, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain on 1430 in Denver as part of the BetQL Audio Network. And if you can't listen live, I get it. You're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. Make sure you are subscribed to the BetQL Daily podcast. Find it on the podcatcher of your choice, like iTunes, Spotify, radio.com. If you're interested in watching us or pulling us up on the browser when you're at work and just listening to what we have to say, radio.com/BetQL-daily, radio.com/BetQL-daily. All right, Horvat, what do you think is top of mind to me in reaction to the NBA action that we saw last night? What is top of mind for me?
That's a great question. I mean, you let off the show with the Utah Jazz, so is it the Jazz?
Now, I was reacting to the highlight that the boys played. Made me feel pretty good about nailing Royce O'Neal. Royce O'Neal, over 1.5 threes in 3 minutes and 42 seconds last night, by the way.
That's a beautiful thing, Joe. Joe, the Jazz awesome. Last night, like when we talk about the depth of this team, they had 3 guys that came off the bench to score at least 20 points last night, man. This team is scary. I would say for you, probably the Chicago Bulls. The two teams that I continue to back, they've just won me so much money this season. The Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks. It's been a beautiful thing. Is that where you're going with the Bulls with Zach LaVine today?
It is not, but we can quickly mention that. You know, LaVine, the tear that he is on right now. The Bulls are in the playoff picture, and we're going to find out tonight. There are a lot of Chicago fans that are going to be really upset if we find out, I believe it's in the 6 o'clock hour Central Time, that Zach LaVine is not named to the All-Star team. He was making a push last year, thought he might make it because the game was here in Chicago, did not. And with what he's doing this year, he's got to make it, right?
He has to, Joe, especially if you look at the last 9 games, like especially if he's on national television, which is very rare. We finally saw it last weekend. If you look at the last 9 games, he's averaging 33 points a game, nearly 6 rebounds, 4 assists. If you play the PRA, it's been a beautiful thing because he continues to cash every single night. And the Bulls are 6-3 in their last 9 games because of him. So I think he has to get in. I mean, the Chicago Bulls are a legit playoff team. Nobody thought that we were going to talk about them as a playoff contender. I don't know if they get in. I don't know if they slip up in the second half of the season. But right now they're playing competitive basketball. They're at least fun to watch. And I mean, if you lived in Chicago the last near 2 decades, it hasn't been great. So I think he has to get in. And, you know, we were talking about this in Milwaukee. You know, if you look at the East, the All-Stars, should Chris Middleton get in the first half of the season? I mean, outside of the last 9 games when Drew Holiday's been out, the numbers he's been putting up are ridiculous. I mean, he was going to be a 50-40-90 guy. We haven't seen that since Larry Bird, but I don't think he gets in. I don't think Middleton gets in for the 3rd consecutive year because I'd put Zach in. I mean, where are the Bulls if he's not on this roster right now?
Maybe 10
wins?
Maybe up in Milwaukee, you guys should be talking about losing the Central Division because it's down to a 2-game lead over Indiana, 3.5 game lead to the Bulls.
Yeah, it's not going well, although they are playing better basketball. I actually kind of like them tonight. Giannis has really taken over the last 10 games. In fact, the last game, he went to the free throw line like 24 times, and he actually hit 19 of them, which was he tied his career high there. So they're playing better basketball. I think they're going to be all right once they're able to get Drew Holiday back on the floor. That's been a huge loss for them. And they have to start playing some defense because they do not cover the perimeter. They give up way too many open jump shots.
Yeah, that's something that people aren't talking enough about. It's what's wrong with the Bucks? What's wrong with the Bucks? Instead of saying, oh boy, they're really smarting without Drew Holiday. I did like the Bulls last night. Didn't love them, but we talked about it yesterday. Like them. The Rockets have been terrible. I mean, they're beat up. They're beat up right now, and they're losing to a lot of bad teams. Not saying that the Bulls are one of them. They're kind of in that middle blob right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Rockets are certainly a fade team. But, no, Horvat, top of mind is the game you had to stay up late for last night. The Lakers go down again, this time to the Wizards, 127-124. Washington closed as 6.5-point dogs. They end up covering. It goes well over the total. But Horvat, we wake up here on this Tuesday, and for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how, okay, for right now, LeBron has a stranglehold on the MVP. The media is dying to give it to LeBron, but since AD's gone out, they have lost 4 of their last 5 games, and it's not like LeBron is stepping back as far as minutes. He was talking about it after the game, and hey, I'm not looking to take time off. He's welcoming the heavy workload, but right now they're not winning games. I feel like the award for the time being, late February, is slipping away from LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. They're 1-3 since AD's injury, technically 1-4 because they lose the game that he ends up going down in. And right now they can't get buckets. They can't score. They're not big enough to compete with some of these teams that go big against them. And you saw it again last night. And also, I mean, I want to give a shout out to the Wizards. I did have the Wizards last night. I didn't see them winning that game outright. In fact, they were down double digits early in the first half, and I thought it was going to be a loss. Luckily, I end up staying up for that game. Goes to overtime. They need to do something about all these challenges and replays. These games are way too long, Joe, and it kills the pace of play. But how about the Wizards, man? They've won five in a row. A couple weeks back, we saw a better – was it in Las Vegas that placed the future on the Wizards to win the NBA Finals? Still, what a waste of money. But since then, five wins in a row.
Yeah,
they beat the Lakers. They beat the Blazers. They beat the Nuggets, the Celtics, and the Rockets. And in that span, Bradley Beal's averaging 33 points a game, seven boards and five assists on 53% shooting. Russell Westbrook, who everybody was ragging on, he's averaging a triple-double in their last five wins. 20 points, 12 boards, 12 assists. And the Wizards are playing some good basketball right now. But the Lakers, man, we're talking that MVP future. I'm starting to take a look at James Harden, at what he's doing, especially what he's doing while Kevin Durant's been out. Every night, he's there. He's there with a triple-double. I'm not feeling as good about my Steph Curry prop, but I do think that we should take a look at some other names.
Do the Nets have to finish with the best record? And I know the Jazz are so far ahead right now, but do the Nets have to just go on an unreal tear? Maybe the best record for Harden to be in that conversation. Because remember, you know, Durant's going to return from the hamstring. I don't know. I get your argument. And believe me, I've been backing Harden a lot in player props. Yeah. But with three stars on that team, I don't think they're gonna pick him out and say he's the MVP. And remember, you have to think about the thought process of some of these voters. They're still mad at Harden for the way he acted in Houston.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they don't want to give that award to James Harden. I mean, I thought, even being in Milwaukee, I thought that year he deserved it over Giannis, just because if you took him off that Rockets team, they were complete garbage. And every night, I mean, he led him in points, rebounds, and assists. You could say the same thing about Giannis, but Giannis got it because the Bucks had the best record in the NBA two straight years. That's the reason he's been the MVP the last two consecutive seasons. So that's what I'm looking at is it going to go to LeBron if the Lakers figure it out, especially now with AD being out another 3 to 4 weeks? If they figure it out and he goes on a tear where he's averaging 33, 10, and 11, he's probably going to win it. But right now, man, it's hard to pick against Joel Embiid. When you see what he's doing now, the second half of the season, is he going to be out there every night? Are they going to use load management? But Embiid, I really like right now, obviously LeBron, and then you can't really discredit Jokic. And he's actually been playing. He hasn't been putting up his usual numbers. I expect him in a bounce back spot tonight, but right now I think it's between Embiid and LeBron, but I do want to take a look at some other names just because I do still think there is value just because we still have a whole nother half of the season to go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Also notable from Monday night in the association, a lot of blowouts. We mentioned the Bulls game. Bulls win by 20. The Jazz won by 22 in a rout. Suns destroy the Blazers by 32. They were 6.5-point favorites. Miami, 7-point favorites. They take care of the Thunder. Not really a sweat there. Mavs, comfortable win. They cover the 4.5 against the Grizzlies. So that's what really popped out. Before we got to that Wizards-Lakers game late last night, all these other games were blowouts.
Yeah, there were blowouts, and all favorites were covering. And so then when I'm looking in the first half and I see the Lakers up double digits, I already had my game plan for tonight because we have so many games on tap on this slate tonight. I was thinking all dogs, because if all favorites cover one night, I'm backing the dogs the next night. But the Wizards do end up getting that outright win. Yeah, a lot of blowouts last night. And a lot of games going into the fourth quarter that were close games, like Chicago. You know, I thought the Bulls were going to blow that there for a while. I mentioned the Hornets. the Hornets, it looked like they were going to cover. I want to say it was like a three-point game going into the fourth quarter. I know they got outscored by 20 points, but they actually had a lead in that game. A lot of blowouts last night. I expect the slate to be much better tonight.
Horvat, let's bring in our guy, Eli Hershkovich, executive producer of the show. We talk college hoops with him every single day. Eli, no doubt, the lead from last night, not your pick. We'll go there in just a second. But we've got to start with the early game with Duke and Syracuse, man. Like, you can feel it. You can already feel it. The Blue Devils, the door is wide open for them to make it. As of right now, after handling Syracuse last night, and we get Jim Boeheim doubling and tripling down after the game, they're a better team. They're a better team. Oh, well, it's not because anybody's there or not there anymore or left the team. They're a better team. Well, Gary Parish was pointing out, hey, quad one, they're 2-3. Quad two, they're 4-3. Quad three games, they're 3-2. And quad four, they're 2-0. So next is Louisville, I believe. But Eli Hershkovich, if you're making a prediction this morning, is Duke in the tourney?
Yes. A million percent. So. Yes.
Duke, yeah.
And the committee wants them in, and yeah, they'll get in. This is a team that's very dangerous when they're on from three. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go on a run in the tournament, but they can make a little noise in the ACC tournament and definitely make the NCAA tournament. Again, Matthew Hurt had a big game yesterday, a couple threes, 15 points. That's the key to Duke's offense when he's on. And against a 2-3 zone, I should have just bet Duke. It got up to 6.5. I wanted it at 5.5. I didn't take it. But yeah, they looked really good last night.
I bet Duke because I asked you about that near the end of the show, because the points bet, you you get the, I forgot what you call it, the bonus points for every three. If you bet on their special game of the day, and their game was Duke and Syracuse, I said, if you had to make a play, and you said, ah, take the Blue Devils -6. And early on, you turn it on, I'm like, oh, I guess we're pretty good here.
I was on Syracuse. Duke made their first – no, they made 8 of their first 12 threes, and they had an assist on their first 16 field goals of the game, and I knew it was over. I turned it off. Yeah. And Syracuse actually outscored them in the second half, but that was a blowout, man. And I was on the wrong side. And I've been back in Duke, too, so I don't know why I went away.
Yeah, so it's Louisville, Georgia Tech, North Carolina. So assuming all those games get played, Eli, what do you think their final record's going to be, sitting 11-8 right now?
Oof. I mean, win, yeah, looking at the schedule, probably – no, I could see a 2-1 stretch here. Probably beat Georgia Tech again, even though that's a big game for the NCAA tournament for Georgia Tech. Yeah, I would say 2-1.
Eli, Oregon did not look great last night. We'll get to that coming up. And also, up next, tonight's 9-game NBA slate. Joe Ostrowski, Ryan Horvat, you're locked into the BetQL Audio Network.